I do want to extend a greeting to you. I extend my best wishes for a happy new year. We are 1 week into 1997. The remaining pages of the days ahead are empty, a stark white piece of papers. The empty pages are there to be filled. It is my wish that we may do it prayerfully and with purpose, and that this year will be the best ever, overflowing with happiness and success. In an article by William George Jordan, he makes a wonderful statement about each of our lives. He states, "In all nature, the wonders of the seen are dwarfed into insignificance when compared with the majesty and glory of the unseen. Man's or woman's conscious influence when he is on dress parade, when he is posing to impress those around him, is woefully small. But his unconscious influence, the silent radiation of his personality, the effect of his words and acts, and the trifles that he never considers, is tremendous. Every man has an atmosphere which is affecting every other. So silent and unconscious is this influence that man may forget that it even exists. Into the hands of every individual is given a marvelous power for good or evil. The silent, unconscious, unseen influence of his life." I think this statement is beautifully illustrated in the movie Mr. Holland's Opus. The story is about a man whose dream is to compose a noted piece of music. He becomes sidetracked by having to teach music at a high school to provide for his family. At first, he views his job through punching the clock, but a loving and dedicated principal awakens within him the opportunity to influence the minds of his students. At the end of the movie, he is honored by those whose lives he has touched in a 30-year period. One former student, now the governor of the state, emcees the program in an auditorium filled with past students and colleagues. The governor reminds Mr. Holland that his desire was to write a symphony that would make him both rich and famous, but he is neither. So consequently, she suggests that he might think of himself a failure. "If so, he is wrong," she says. "His success is far greater." Then she suggests that he look around the auditorium. There isn't a life in the room that has not been touched, and each is a better person because of their association with him. The former students are his symphony. What isn't apparent to those in the room is the unseen influence of the principal who gave him the advice to not only fill minds with knowledge, but to give those minds a compass in order that the knowledge would not go to waste. Indeed, all knowledge will be wasted if our compass is not directed by Christ. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 12, says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Then Paul likens us to members of this body, Christ's body. Whether we be the foot, or the hand, or the eye, or the ear. Then in verse 21, Paul continues, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee." He then goes on to say there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Brothers and sisters, we are all members of Christ's family and are dependent upon each other. The great English poet John Donne put it another way. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another, and I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend. In my life, there have been many people who have influenced me for good. President Bateman and I moved many times with his schooling and career opportunities. During the first 20 years of our married life, we moved 19 times. Our moves were never back home where members of our families lived. We were always on our own. But wherever we went, I was very fortunate to find wonderful friends who touched my life. They became role models for me. In most cases, these people were totally unaware of the great influence that they had on me. For example, when we lived in the Boston area, I was called to be a district missionary. My companion happened to be another young mother like myself. She and her husband were a few years ahead of us in terms of schooling and also in raising their family. She was a woman with a lot of common sense, and I could tell that she had a peace about her that I wanted in my life. I don't think she ever realized the impact that she had on me during that time. I could tell you about others that I have quietly observed in many countries who have been notes in my opus. I challenge you to live your lives in such a way that your influence for good will make a difference in the lives of others. Always remember that your influence will be felt, whether it be for good or ill. As we look to our Savior as our greatest example, we will find Christ-like qualities in others. Be a righteous example. Be a great influence. Again, I close with the words of William George Jordan. To make our influence felt, we must live our faith. We must practice what we believe. No individual is so insignificant as to be without influence. We should let our influence filter through human love and sympathy. We should not be merely an influence. We should be an inspiration. By our very presence, we should be a tower of strength to others. May we all be blessed through the influence and example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is our hope for the eternities. I testify of this, and I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.